Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Our study this morning is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44, and Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. We're usually taking the Gospel of Mark, but this being Palm Sunday on the Christian calendar, I thought it would be good for us to review the events that happened on that Passover week. We learn from Luke chapter 9, verse 51, that at that point in time in Jesus' ministry, he set his face to go toward Jerusalem. So he's on his way to Jerusalem performing miracles and teaching the people. Chapter 19, verse 1 tells us that he was passing through the area of Jericho, performing miracles and teaching. But it says in verse 28 of Luke 19, after having said these things, that is, after having said the things in Jericho, these events took place. He's now getting ready to enter into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Just so you know in general what Palm Sunday is all about, it's the week of Palm Sunday for the Jews was Passover week. So all the pilgrims, including Jesus, was on their way into Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast that week. And of course, it was that week that Jesus had the Passover meal with his disciples. That was at the Passover meal. Jesus instituted communion at the end of the Passover meal. That happened as we commemorate this week. It was a Passover week that the Jews celebrated the sacrificing of the lamb and the Passover lamb. And it was the work that Jesus himself, as the Lamb of God, was crucified on the cross, and he died for the sins of the world. It was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was 7 days right after the Passover, that Jesus rose from the dead. So next Sunday, we will be remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Christ and what that resurrection means to us. It's an important message next week. The Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem is called Palm Sunday, and that's on the Christian calendar what we celebrate today. Because the people would lay palm branches down as he rode into Jerusalem at the beginning of that Passover week. So in verses 28 through 36, we have the preparation for the entrance into Jerusalem. And after having said these things, that is, the things in Jericho, he was going on before them, ascending up toward Jerusalem. So he's ascending up into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was uphill, and it was 17 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. So it was an uphill climb of 17 miles. Verse 29, and it happened as he drew near toward the Bethphage and Bethany at the mount being called of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. So 2 miles east of Jerusalem were two villages, Bethphage and Bethania, or Bethany. And Jesus would stay there during Passover week. He'd be in the city participating in the Passover activities, but he'd be going to Bethany and Bethphage 2 miles out, 2 miles east of Jerusalem in the evening time to spend the evening there. So between the cities of Bethphage and Bethany, there is a place that is called the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is a high mountain or hill, 2,660 feet high above sea level. From the top of the Mount Olives, you descend down into the Kidron Valley, then up into the temple area of Jerusalem. So he sent two of his disciples, says in verse 30, and he told these disciples, go into the opposite village, in which you while entering you will find a colt tied, upon which no man has ever sat. After having untied it, bring it. And if anyone should ask, why are you untying it? This way you will say to him, the Lord has need of it. And after having gone, the ones who had been sent found it according as he said to them. While they were untying the colt, the masters of it, that is the colt, said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, Matthew tells us that this untying of the colt and bringing it to Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it's fulfillment of prophecy that they go find this colt. Find him just as Jesus said he was going to find him and bring him to Jesus. Quoting Jesus with the words, the Lord has need of him to those who asked. Matthew chapter 21, verse 2 tells us that the mother of the colt was also brought with the colt. It is important to realize, and this is the theme for the day, in understanding the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. There are actually two themes, but the main theme is that God works not in hours and minutes, but he works in seconds. Everything is designed and planned by him, and he's in control of all things. Nothing happens by accident. He's got everything under control. He knows all things. He brings about his purposes to the exact second that they are to happen. Verse 35. And they led it to Jesus, that is the colt. And after having thrown their own garments upon the colt, they mounted Jesus upon it. And while he was going, they were spreading their garments on the road. People are getting ready to sing praises to him. Now, it's interesting that in Luke's text, he doesn't mention the palm branches. It's only mentioned in one place. John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, tell us that they were also spreading palm branches down before him. Verses 37 to 40, the praise from the people. And while he was drawing near already at the descent of the Mount of Olives, all the multitude of the disciples began rejoicing to praise God with a loud voice concerning all the works of power which they saw, saying, blessed is the coming King in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That's a messianic title, and that's the literal translation from the Textus Receptus, by the way. He is the coming King. Not the coming one, but the coming King. That's a messianic title. Blessed is the coming King. Verse 38, this quote is from Psalm 118, verse 26 of the Psalms. This is one of the Hallel Psalms. Hallel actually means praise in Hebrew. The Hallel Psalms are Psalms 113 to 118. And the pilgrims would sing these Hallel songs all the way to Jerusalem, one right after the other as they went. So, as they were entering into Jerusalem and Jesus riding on this donkey, and they were spreading their clothes out in front of him as a gesture to majesty and the King, they were singing Psalm 118, verse 26. They were calling him the Messiah. Blessed is the coming King in the name of the Lord. Yes, they were praising him, thinking it was his triumphal entry. You'll hear that phrase a lot too, that this is the triumphant entry of Jesus. But it wasn't his triumphant entry. They thought it was, which is why they're giving him praises. They thought that he was coming into Jerusalem to free the Jewish people from the Roman government. They didn't think he was coming to die. So as he comes in, his triumphant entry was not until Revelation chapters 19 and 20, after the tribulation period, when he rides back and he rides on a white horse and we ride with him. It's in Revelation chapters 19 and 20. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from the crowd, that's some religious leaders, a religious sect of the Jews, they were legalists. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And when he answered, he said to them, "I say to you, that if these should be silent, the stones will have cried out." Verses 41 to 44, the prophecy over Jerusalem. This is our focal point for today. And as he drew near, as Jesus was drawing near, when he saw the city, he wept over it. Literally tears, he wept over Jerusalem, saying that if you knew, even you, even indeed in this your day, notice the wording, literal translation, in this your day, the things for your peace, but now it was hidden from your eyes, because the days will come upon you, and your enemies will throw an embankment around you and will surround you, will hem you in from every side. And they will level you down to the ground and your children in you. And they will not leave in you stone upon stone, on account of which you did not know the time of your visitation. Key phrase, two key phrases. The time of your visitation in verse 44 is making reference to verse 42, in this your day. This your day, not just any day, it is your day. Making reference to an appointed day that was coming that the Jewish people were to know, but they didn't. So he says judgments are going to come. And by the way, this judgment did happen in 70 AD when Titus, the Roman general, rides into town. They surround the city, they level the city, they kill the people. They took some captive. But Jesus said, your temple is going to be torn down because you have rejected your Messiah. They should have known about this day that we call Palm Sunday. But the Bible calls it a very special day. I want you to turn with me to the other part of your study guide in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, because this is what Jesus is making reference to. If you knew this in your day, the Jewish people should have known. This is what is known, Daniel 9, 24 to 27, which is known in biblical and theological terms as the prophecy of the 70 weeks. The Hebrew is known in this prophecy as 77. There's no word weeks. 77s, the prophecy of 77s. As 70 segments of sevens have been determined upon your people and upon your holy city. It is this word sevens, and these segments of sevens represent years. 77s are 70 times 7 years. 490 years. Daniel was amongst the captives in Babylon. He was reading Jeremiah's prophecies in Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12, and in Jeremiah 21, verse 10. He was reading Jeremiah's prophecies, and Jeremiah said that God has held Israel captive for 70 years in Babylon. And Daniel begins to calculate and he realizes it's been 70 years from Jeremiah's prophecies that they've been held captive. So he began to pray. Not only does God reveal to Daniel the release of Israel from captivity in Babylon, but how God is going to release them down through history. So after the 70 years held captive in Babylon are up, Daniel begins to pray. And God says, I'm going to reveal a prophecy to you of how all of this is going to turn out and how all of this is going to end. This prophecy in Daniel is the prophecy of all prophecies. All prophecies are based on Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. So he says he's going to release them down through history to do six things. Notice in verse 24. The first thing, three things have to do with sin. To restrain the transgression. That is, hold it back. To seal up sins and to make atonement for iniquity. Then the next three have to do with righteousness. To bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophet, that is, bring it to an end, and to anoint the Holy of Holies that's in the sanctuary. So he said, these 77s are going to do these six things, bring an end to sin, and bring a fulfillment of righteousness to the people of God. Verse 25, then know and have insight that from the going out of a word to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the ruler, shall be seven sevens and 60 and two sevens. Seven sevens is 49 years. 62 sevens. And 77s. The first segment of sevens or 49 years begins with the command to go out and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, there are two events that happened in history. Well, the children of Israel were held captive beginning around 438 BC, when Ezra and a group of other people were allowed to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, not the city. And some people think that this prophecy begins in 438 BC. But it doesn't, because the prophecy is to build and restore Jerusalem. That happened on March 14th, 445 BC, when the command went out. Is recorded in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So these 70s are broken down into segments of seven. First of all, there's the first seven, or 49 years, and 62 sevens, which is 434 years. The seven sevens are the 49 years that it took to rebuild the city. And after that 49th year, there was another 62 sevens, another 434 years, before the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem. So, in 445 BC to 396 BC, the city was rebuilt, and from 396 to 32 AD, was the last 62 sevens. So from the going out of the word to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the seven sevens and 62 sevens, so two segments, or a total of 69 sevens, which total 483 years. And he will build it again, and there will be an open space. And after, verse 26, and after 62 sevens, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. So after 483 years, or 69 sevens, the Messiah is to be cut off. Messiah being cut off means his death at the cross after the 69 sevens. The Messiah will be cut off. And the people of the coming prince will destroy the city. Coming prince being an Antichrist will destroy the city and the holy place. And its end will be with a flood. And until the end of war, desolations or ruin is being determined. So the people of the coming prince are the people of the Antichrist. They're coming to destroy the city after Messiah is cut off, and the holy place. Verse 27, and he will make a strong covenant with the many for 1 7. So you have a segment of 7 sevens. Yes, have a segment of 62 sevens. Now you have a segment of 1 7, totaling 70 altogether. Meaning 7 years. This is one segment of 7 years, which we know as the tribulation period. And the text goes on to say, and in half of the seven, that's 3.5 years, he will cause the sacrifice and the offering to cease, and upon the wing of the altar, abominations causing desolations. Even until the end, that which was determined, it will be poured out upon the one desolating or the one ruining, meaning the Antichrist himself. It says half of the seven, or 3.5 year mark, in the tribulation period is when the great tribulation takes place. So the tribulation period is 7 years. The great tribulation is the last 3.5 years when God's judgment is poured out upon the Antichrist and his people. All this is given to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, as well as Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 14 and following. It's all about this, how this happens. During the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to help the Jews rebuild their temple according to the book of Revelation. Then at the 3.5 year mark, he will present the abomination of desolation. He's going to put his image up in the temple area. And he's going to make it a demand that all people worship his image. So it's actually a religious activity. And for those who worship the image, they get a number. You've probably heard this before, where the number 666, the number of man, it's not 666, by the way. That's 6 3 times. 6 is the number of man. And just as God has the Trinity, Satan has his Trinity, his 666. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So, he's going to put up his image and say he wants everybody to worship him. He's going to stop all the sacrifices, like our text says. He's going to stop the sacrifices. He's going to make everybody worship his image in order to get a number so that you can buy and sell food and whatever your necessities are. You have to take his number, 666. You have to show this number when you go shopping. But in order to get the number, you have to worship his image. If you refuse to worship the image, you don't get the number. Of course, you starve, or you go without, but also they seek you out and kill you with the sword if you refuse to worship the image and refuse to take the number. So this is at the 3.5 year mark. Then there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to bring judgment in all of this. As soon as the abomination of desolation appears in the temple area and the image is stored up, then God brings his judgment. And that which was determined, it would be poured out upon the one desolating or the one bringing ruin, which is Satan. The one desolating, and that is to say the Antichrist himself, will have judgment poured out upon him. He, in the one who's causing desolation in Jerusalem, And that's recorded for us in Revelation chapter 19, when he becomes destroyed in the final outpouring of God's wrath. So in summary statement, from the time the city was built to the time of the coming of the Messiah would be 434 years. Using the 360-day prophetic calendar, it comes to April 6th, 32 AD, the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem. That is why Jesus says to them in Luke 19:42, if you knew this your day, from the very beginning of the decree until the time Messiah is cut off, is 69 sevens, or 483 years, or 173,880 days. If all that sounds boring to you, it tells us how exact God is. Jesus was saying that if you knew this day, if you were marking the days of 173,880 days, the Messiah was supposed to come to Jerusalem. If you were keeping track, you would know today's the day. Today, this is your day. This is the appointed time that Messiah was to come into Jerusalem. The exact today that this prophecy was fulfilled displays God's sovereignty and his preeminence. As we said a few moments ago, and knowing about the donkey and the village, and the Lord giving instructions on what to do with the donkey and how to handle that situation, the Lord already knew ahead of time. He already had the situation under control, just like his entrance into Jerusalem. It's all designed. He's sovereign. He has the preeminence. Sovereignty means that every second of every day is planned by God's design, and his spirit is there. Concerning preeminence, he's in control of all things. Again, as we said earlier, it's not that God deals with hours and minutes. He deals with seconds to the day. Prophecy shows us that God's in control. He knows what's going to happen before it happens because he planned it. And it's the same for all of his people. His will is already planned. His will has already been taken into motion. It's our job to be at peace with Christ. Find our peace in him, knowing that his will is being fulfilled. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to take an hour out of our week and focus on the control and sovereignty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who asks us to put our trust in him so that we can be at peace. As the people said as he rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, blessed is the coming King in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You would have us to bask in your peace and in your glory, knowing that everything is under your control, and that your will is being fulfilled, whether we want to believe it or not. So we pray that you'd give us that hope and confidence, the ministry of your Spirit to bring us to Christ and to trust Him with all things, knowing that He's got everything under control. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.